What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Last day we're in a tent live in Ashburn, Virginia. They take all the tents out tomorrow. So this is it, baby.
Yeah, we're not sitting in the back of your truck with no tent. That's not going to happen.
We'll see. We'll see.
No, we're not going to see.
You won't sit.
That's
in the back
one
of my
thing
truck.
We won't see.
We won't see Brian.
It won't
in the back
be
of
we.
The truck. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get back to back of the truck status. I think we've moved forward. Good morning, B.
What's
how you
up,
doing?
Brother? I'm chilling, man. How you doing? How was your taping last night?
It was cool, man. It was fun. Shout out to Los Rhino. Took good care of us. Had a bunch of Skins fans or Commanders fans showed up. I happened to notice a lot of folks were wearing their McLaurin jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was a good day to wear a Terry jersey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
B, you know what they were serving? It was burger night at Los Rhino.
Mm.
You know elote, the like Mexican corn?
Yeah, yeah.
They had a burger with elote on it.
Oh.
Elote bacon burger.
Man.
It was banging.
That could be good.
Here's how you know it was good. I finished all of it.
Oh, you did?
I was hungry.
Was it small?
Nah, it was like a regular
okay, just
burger.
Make sure.
Yeah,
know,
man. I did good.
You like to do the junior Whopper?
I if they had a junior version of it, I might have gotten it.
Whopper Junior be too big for you, though. You need the grandson.
I like the Whopper Junior, man. The Whopper Junior is perfect. I don't know if they have like a Whopper Junior, but
that's the best thing you can get.
B, when I was in high school, by my senior year of high school, we'd go up to. Do you remember when the Bethesda Metro had that food court? All right, that might have been
the Bethesda Metro.
Like eventually, you worked right there for a while, but you were still playing when
I was
graduating
going to
high
the
school.
Metro, though.
But you wouldn't have gone to the Metro. There was a food court with like a ton of restaurants. Like a food court at a mall.
Right next to it?
Yeah, it was like right by the old office.
Tommy Joe's was right there, wasn't it?
It was like, you know where what is now the Clark Construction Building, where that Hyatt is? Where the
Morton's
is? The building next to it used to have a food court.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And so we'd go there every day in high school for lunch. My standard lunch, I mean, I'm a real bastion of health at this point, at 17 years old or whatever, was a Whopper Jr. and a slice of pizza. And I think collectively that cost me like $350.
That's why you played offensive line. I understand.
Because the Whopper Jr. was a buck. I remember that. It was 99 cents. That's you on five. Last night was really cool. It was fun. It was also cool to be able to like do the show live after Terry is back and has talked and is clearly excited and everybody's happy. And it feels like finally – we're seeing the team the way they had it planned.
Yeah.
Even yesterday, just seeing Terry and Noah Brown out there, and I'm not saying that Noah Brown is the same player as Terry, but like
Noah
this
Brown
offense
does
is
what he does.
Way better when he's your third wideout.
He brings a different element to the game that the other receivers don't.
Physicality,
yeah.
I mean, just all of it. You hope he can stay healthy. I mean, that's been kind of
his
problem throughout his career, but It was a lot of fun. It was cool to really get to listen to Terry. I don't know what you had going on yesterday afternoon. Did you get to hear any of his comments?
Nope. I was on the golf course.
How'd you play?
I played weird.
Weird.
I had a little – couldn't get off the tee. I was pulling yanking it all day yesterday.
Left?
Yeah, but I ended
up – I feel like when you miss, that's your
I
miss.
Ended up fixing it.
It's funny, man, because your game, if I can't get off the tee, I'm just cooked. But your game, you can't get off the tee, you generally are still in for, like, par. Both.
I had some shots yesterday where
– where'd you guys play?
Cannon Club.
Cannon Club?
I hit the pin on several chips that I'm like, trying to – I'm trying to save a par or bogey, and boom, I'm almost making them, you know. So, and I didn't play too bad, but – Not like I had been playing.
Gotcha. Commanders make a couple moves yesterday. Now, at this point, it's kind of practice squad stuff.
Yeah.
They added a corner, Darius Rush. And then, interestingly, I'd say they added a running back in Donovan Edwards. You already kept four running backs on your active roster, and then you're adding another one.
Is he on the active roster?
No, he's going to the practice
squad. Yeah, yeah.
But now you got your five deep at the at the corner position. Rush is a guy that was drafted in 23 by the Colts, got cut out of camp, has played a sprinkle. He's played five games over two seasons with the Steelers. Long guy, which for a defensive back, you know, I think there's a I think DQ and Joe Witt have a type as far as defensive backs go. So Darius Rush kind of fits that. 6'2", long arms. He is a Gamecock, played his college ball at South Carolina. Edwards is a little more interesting to me, just because I think that was somebody they were kind of keeping tabs on. Going practice squad to add another running back, I find kind of interesting. Edwards was good in college at Michigan. Had a good preseason with the Jets and, you know, just got released. I think that's just about it's a player they like and they're putting him on the practice squad more so than any sort of, like, big picture.
But you're having four running backs. I mean, that's you got to practice the whole year. And the guys, two of those running backs, you expect them to play a lot of special teams, maybe three.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wear and tear. So you get an extra guy in here just to save them a little bit.
Fair.
Yeah.
The practice squad, I don't know, we could count. Barber, Brooks, Cager, Day, Dieter, five. Edwards, Hamilton, Hartman, Holmes, Jones, 10. TJ, McDaniel, McKay, Moore, Rush, Vigors, 16.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it 17?
It's 17.
Is that what the international?
There's an international pathway thing that I don't know if that is full right now, although maybe, forgive me, TJ Magaranyaga.
He could be it.
That might be their IPP guy, right? So roster's really starting to take shape, and in some ways, you don't want to minimize everything we've been out here watching and analyzing for the last 6 weeks. But it also makes you realize, like, between now and next week is when it really starts to matter. You know what I mean? Like, the end of camp makes you realize, like,
But you analyze the 90 that try to get top 70.
Right.
And then once you get the top 70, you're concerned about the 53 that has a chance to be active that week. And then you worry about the 47 on Sunday that are going to be dressed out. It's understandable. I mean, it's not to limit it or discredit it, but you have certain levels of what you're looking at. You know, let's weed out the top 20 that we have to get out of here. And then when you get close to the game, you got to get 17 more are not going to have a chance to play this week. And then right when you get close to the game, you got another six that are not going to be dressing out. And it comes down to health or just what the game plan is that week. You know, you may have somebody on practice squad that you know plays well against a certain style of look, and you may want that guy up that week. You never know.
Sure.
And that's the luxury of having it right now.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the best rule changes for actual players the NFL has made in a while. And, dude, it's a give and take because they also added a 17th game, right? Mm-hmm. But it gives you way more roster flexibility. So the Commanders are really starting to kind of flush everything out. Today we're going to hear from Dan Quinn at noon. Then we should hear from Jaden Daniels. We're hoping that happens in our show, 1:30, 1:45-ish. But we won't know. It kind of depends, you know, how late practice goes and how quick Jaden gets up to the podium, et cetera. It is an awesome weekend because it's week one for college football. I just went through. There's like nine games tonight.
You watching the night check?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're driving to the beach, but I like to think by the time we get there, I'll be, you know, kids will go to sleep. Like, now some of these games, B, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't have a real feel for Lafayette versus Bowling Green. Do you have much of a
That's kind of like a rivalry, right?
I don't think so, but maybe.
Lafayette, Indiana, right?
No, Lafayette's Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Lafayette, Indiana.
There might be, but I believe Lafayette College is in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, man, it's college football. You're going to see some excitement.
Sure. Well, Boise State, South Florida, kicks off at 5:30. Like, that's a good game.
Where is it at?
It appears to
be on the blue field or somewhere else?
It looks like it's in Tampa.
Okay, good. That blue field throws me off.
You know what I believe I know about Lafayette College?
Right.
I believe, I hope I don't have this mixed up with another small school in Pennsylvania, but I think that's where Gary Williams started his basketball coaching career.
Wasn't it IUP?
No. And the other even more incredible part about that, of where Gary started his basketball coaching career, the way he's told the story, they didn't have enough money just to hire a basketball coach, so we had to coach basketball and soccer.
Yeah, he coached soccer too. I remember that story.
I love that. So, you know what? I'm rooting for Lafayette tonight. Sorry.
See, now you got a, now they got a dog in the fight.
Sorry, Bowling Green. Boise State, South Florida is the game. Ohio, Rutgers. Should you be interested in that? Not Ohio State, Rutgers. Ohio and Rutgers. I think East Carolina, NC State could be a good game tonight. I know Mathers will be watching that. Wickstead will be watching his Pirates. I'm trying to see if there's any other. Like, I don't think there's a lot of. Here's the headliner, B.
What's that?
Nebraska versus Cincinnati.
All right.
That's.
But it's Thursday night.
Right, there's big stuff coming.
You're going to be watching.
What in the hell conference is Cincinnati in now? Big 12?
I couldn't tell you.
I think they're in the Big 12 now.
I mean, all of them is going to end up just being one big thing. I don't know.
I don't know how that's all going to shake out. But, I mean, there's college football all weekend. The headlines are obviously later on in the weekend. Saturday is just a wild, awesome day of college football. I believe we're going to get Denton Day on with us a little later to preview college football. Of course, you know, Denton does all his college football shows on Sirius. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to check in on the Giants. We've been checking in around the NFC East this week. Dan Duggan covers the Giants for The Athletic, going to join us in a few minutes. Terry spoke yesterday at length, and we finally saw him smiling and enjoying himself, and he was, like, laughing and joking with us. It seemed very much like
a relief.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I can't stress enough that when we were at Eastern Motors, you saw it, you talked to him, we were there for hours, and Terry was there for hours, shooting commercials, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Terry was himself throughout. And then when we sat down for the actual media availability, you could tell there was some frustration. But, like, when the media availability ended, he dapped us all up, said, thanks for coming, I appreciate you guys. Like, Terry, the person, is still just the same good dude cut from the right cloth. Mm-hmm. And I think that showed out yesterday. And I think if you're Terry and you know that Tuesday morning when you sign a contract, if the creek rises and all hell breaks loose, you are at least $45 million richer. I think everybody's cool.
Hey, man, my whole thing is, at this point, he went from one tax bracket. Well, he's in the same tax bracket, but his account went up, and it's all that matters. And the thing of it is, whenever you can better things for yourself, your family, whatever you have presented, that's a winner. That's a good thing. I look at all the stuff, and I know how people break stuff down. As I look at it, he's in a great position right now financially. And depending on how this whole contract thing works out, if he's still going here and this team love him, cool. If not, he's a free agent. When he becomes a free agent, things change. Salary caps go up. You know what I'm saying? And all that type of thing. But my main concern is Terry McLaurin signed a contract with Washington. And that's what my focus is. I'm focused on looking at him play for this team and do things he's been doing since he's gotten here. I can care less about all the other stuff, the other outside stuff to try to make things look differently. Two people came together, two entities came together, and finalized a deal that made the team better. It's all that matters.
And I truly believe it's water under the bridge now at this point. I don't think players were caught up in it, especially because
the players never got caught up in it.
Well, dude, while we didn't see him practicing, he was in the building with those guys. Like, he's largely been here. And
most of the stories and most of the things were speculations. Wasn't nothing no player was saying or what was going on. Players basically tried to stay away from other people's contract out. Every once in a while, if you look around the whole league, how many times have you really, of all the people in the league, you got 1,800 people, how many times have you heard a player really discuss like, well, we need to. He need to come on into camp. He can't be worried about money. You haven't heard that. If you heard it maybe one time, it doesn't happen.
It is.
Even if they got something to say, they keep their mouth shut, which is best.
I bet it's like 95%.
What if you say something about a player that can whoop your ass when you come back in the locker room? You know what I mean? It's just like.
I love that that's always where your mind
No. I'm just saying. it goes there a lot because let's be real. Every time you see a football team walk out, hooray together, don't mean they never had any scuffles and things going on in the locker room. But players, you might say something about another player's contract and you might piss off his boy or piss off another guy just like by saying, worry about your own business.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people outside the locker room try to imagine or want to act like they think they know what goes on. No. The players don't give a damn for the most part. They worry about their own. Because as soon as you start talking about somebody else's contract, wait till yours come up.
Right.
Then they're going to start discussing yours. Then it's going to be a problem.
Well, and it's like, I mean, I think it's important to say this. Like, the media is generally in the locker room 3 hours a week, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You generally get to be in there. Some days it's 30 minutes. Some days it's 80 minutes. But generally there's like a block of time. Call it an hour a day for 3 days a week. How long are players in the locker room per week? Like 4 hours a day over 5 days?
To be honest with you, yeah, about that. Because like, you think the locker room is what – players basically go in to get dressed and go to a meeting room. Or go in to get dressed and go outside.
Go eat.
Yeah, like, go eat. Come back in, get undressed to get dressed to go home or go to a meeting.
Right.
They're not in the locker room very often, but that time in the locker room is sacred.
Right.
Very sacred.
And I just think it's like we get a snapshot, but to try to make any definitive declarations from a snapshot is not always going to be accurate. You know what I'm saying?
Like it's –
And I know enough that, like, we don't always, like, people are like, oh, like, I've seen enough players over the years walk in and be like, oh, media's here.
But
and
they,
so then it's like,
you know what that means?
They got the media hour.
Temper what we do.
Right, exactly.
Like, you may see some things where they're comfortable doing it.
Right.
But for the most part, they temper what they really do once you walk in. And they know what time the media's in.
Right.
They know when different eyes are in there.
It's written on the monitors when they're, like, but all around the building.
They have different, when different eyes come in, they understand. They know what's going on. Just like any other club you have. I don't care what the club is, you know, for sorority, fraternities, or you got some type of little social club. When everybody that's in the club is there, it's a certain freedom you have. When somebody that's not in the club walks in, you get guarded. It's natural. It's just like people try to make athletes so much different. Just think about what the hell you do with you and your friends. You know, I think any person out there, when you are with your best friends, you let your guard down. When anybody walks in, they may be, if your friend brings somebody in, yeah, he brought this person in. That's my boy, but I don't know this dude over here. You hold back a little bit until you find out the other person is cool. And most times, guys, like, you got into the media. When you first walked in, they didn't treat you like they treat you now.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I think people try to make it so different. It's because you're not there. Just think about how you are with your close groups of people.
I think the page has been completely turned for Terry. It's also interesting. The first practice after roster cuts is always a little weird. It's usually pretty subdued. I had somebody from the organization mention that to me yesterday just because you could hear how quiet it was out there. One, you have 20 less guys, so there's like an inherent loss of that volume. But you could, like, I think vets try to be cool to young guys because they know that they probably just stressed out getting a phone call for the last 48 hours. It's just like a.
Right now, they know this is what counts. It's business now.
Right.
We need you. And believe me, next week, it'll pick up a little bit more.
Right.
You know, like you remember Dan was saying that Dan said he hated Monday and Tuesday. Prior to it, he said that. You hear a lot of coaches say that. Veteran players say it. Hell, young players, I know that there is, it got to be demoralizing to them. I've been out this game for 20-something years, and I still feel super, super bad at this time of the year. Because, you know, somebody's dream has been just shattered. It's going to be shut down.
When we return, let's check in on the New York Football Giants with our guy Dan Duggan, covers the Giants for The Athletic. Nobody go anywhere.